Now, it is important to remark that to organize justice by law, that is to say by force, excludes the idea of organizing by law or by force any manifestation whatever of human activity, labor, charity, agriculture, commerce, industry, instruction, the fine arts, or religion. For any one of these organizings would inevitably destroy the essential organization. How, in fact, can we imagine force encroaching upon the liberty of citizens without infringing upon justice, and so acting against its proper aim? Here I am taking on the most popular prejudice of our time. It is not considered enough that law should be just. It must be philanthropic. It is not sufficient that it should guarantee to every citizen the free and inoffensive exercise of his faculties applied to his physical, intellectual, and moral development. It is required to extend well-being, instruction, and morality directly over the nation. This is the fascinating side of socialism. But, I repeat it, these two missions of the law contradict each other. We have to choose between them. A citizen cannot at the same time be free and not free. Mr. de Lamartine wrote to me one day thus, "Your doctrine is only the half of my program. You have stopped at liberty. I go on to fraternity." I answered him, "The second part of your program will destroy the first." And in fact, it is impossible for me to separate the word fraternity from the word voluntary. I cannot possibly conceive fraternity legally enforced without liberty being legally destroyed and justice legally trampled underfoot. Legal plunder has two roots. One of them, as we have already seen, is in human greed. The other is in misconceived philanthropy. Before I proceed, I think I ought to explain myself upon the word plunder. I do not take it, as it often is taken, in a vague, undefined, relative or metaphorical sense. I use it in its scientific acceptation and as expressing the opposite idea to property. When a portion of wealth passes out of the hands of him who has acquired it, without his consent and without compensation to him who has not created it, whether by force or by artifice, I say that property is violated, that plunder is perpetrated. I say that this is exactly what the law ought to repress always and everywhere. If the law itself performs the action it ought to repress, I say that plunder is still perpetrated, and even, in a social point of view, under aggravated circumstances. In this case, however, he who profits from the plunder is not responsible for it. It is the law, the lawgiver, society itself, and this is where the political danger lies. It is to be regretted that there is something offensive in the word. I have sought in vain for another, for I would not wish at any time, and especially just now, to add an irritating word to our disagreements. Therefore, whether I am believed or not, I declare that I do not mean to impugn the intentions nor the morality of anybody. I am attacking an idea that I believe to be false, a system that appears to me to be unjust. And this is so independent of intentions that each of us profits by it without wishing it and suffers from it without being aware of the cause. Any person must write under the influence of party spirit or of fear, who would call into question the sincerity of protectionism, of socialism, and even of communism, which are one and the same plant, in three different periods of its growth. All that can be said is that plunder is more visible by its partiality in protectionism. If protection were only granted in France to a single class, to the engineers, for instance, it would be so absurdly plundering as to be unable to maintain itself. Thus we see all the protected trades combined make